So before we look at this topic of laziness and industry, let's pray. Almighty God, thank you for speaking to us just now in your Bible. We pray that you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, minds to understand what you want to say to each one of us this morning. Be at work in us through your Holy Spirit that we might be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. It is in his name we now pray. Amen. I wonder, have you ever found yourself in this situation? You're at the dining table. Dinner is sitting right in front of you. You look at your meal. You pick up your fork. You load some food onto your fork. And all that you need to do now is lift that fork to your mouth and start eating. But you just can't do it. The distance from the meal to your mouth is too far. It's not that you're sick or anything. You're in full health. You're not suffering from any illness or injury. You simply can't be bothered lifting the food to your mouth. If you've ever found yourself in that situation, and I hope that you haven't, it's probably a fair sign that you are incredibly lazy. That is what Proverbs 26:15 tells us. A sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. It's an extraordinary image, isn't it? Now, I doubt any of us here are that lazy, but I'm sure all of us have aspects of laziness in our life. So we're going to do a quick survey of the Proverbs to find out what it tells us about laziness. First, we'll look at the characteristics of laziness, then the consequences of laziness. So firstly, the characteristics of laziness. Number one, the lazy are unreliable. Proverbs 10:26. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so are sluggards to those who send them. The lazy are always letting people down. And it can be very annoying, can't it? Being let down by a lazy person is like copping smoke in the eyes. It's not pleasant. I wonder if you are unreliable. Always late to meetings, often forgetting appointments, overlooking important details, regularly letting people down. It may be a sign that you are lazy. Characteristic of laziness number two, the lazy never seem to finish anything. Proverbs 12:27. The lazy do not roast any game. Firstly, the lazy probably don't go out to hunt. But even if they did and they managed to catch something, they're probably too lazy to prepare the food they caught. And even if they do roast their catch, Proverbs 26, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish and is too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. In short, the lazy have no problem starting a task, a project, or an assignment. Anyone can make a start on things, right? The problem is the lazy fail to persevere and to finish. Is that you? Characteristic of laziness number three, the lazy ignore common sense. Proverbs 12:11. Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. Rather than working day in and day out for achievable outcomes, the lazy are dreamers. They waste their time chasing unachievable, unrealistic fantasies. They have these big ideas and they concoct grand plans, but they have no possible way of attaining them. They're undisciplined and disconnected from reality. In short, they lack common sense. Characteristic of laziness number four, the lazy are all talk but no action. Proverbs 14:23, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. We've heard it all before. Talk is cheap. Actions speak louder than words. Yes, the lazy can talk, but often that's all they do. Talk, 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 but nothing ever comes of it. It's laziness. Does this ring true in your life? All talk but no follow-through? Characteristic number five of laziness, the lazy are full of excuses. Proverbs 26:13. A luggard says, "There's a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets." It's his excuse for not going to work. The lazy always has an excuse to avoid hard work or addressing a difficult situation. And often these excuses can be rather poor and even far-fetched. "I'd love to be able to help you, but what about the scary lion roaming the streets?" Have you ever tried to help someone in their time of need? You present them with a whole range of solutions, yet it seems like every time you offer a suggestion, they come back with a list of reasons why it wouldn't work. It's laziness. They just don't want to do the work. They don't want to do the hard work or face the problem. So there they are. Five characteristics of laziness according to the book of Proverbs. The lazy are unreliable, never finish anything, ignore common sense, are all talk but no action, and are full of excuses. I wonder if there is evidence of these in your life. Something worth reflecting on. But at this point, you might be thinking and asking, "Well, it's no big deal being lazy. Like, what harm can come from a little bit of laziness?" Well, the book of Proverbs tells us that there are serious consequences. Let's look at three of them. Consequence number one, the lazy go unfulfilled. Proverbs 13:4, a sluggard's appetite is never filled. And 21:25, the craving of a sluggard will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. You see, all of us have desires and cravings, but for the lazy, they are never satisfied or fulfilled because they're unwilling to do the work. So, for example, you might want roast lamb for dinner tonight, but unless you prepare and do the necessary work, you're not having roast lamb. You'll have to settle for two-minute noodles instead. And as you eat those chicken-flavoured Maggi noodles, all of us know you will be unsatisfied and unfulfilled. Consequence number two of laziness. Laziness leads to poverty. We see this in a series of Proverbs. Laziness ends in forced labour. The shiftless or the lazy go hungry. Sluggards do not plough in season, so at harvest time, of course, they look but find nothing. And we heard it in the Bible reading before. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and poverty will come on you like a thief. If you don't work, you do not eat. It's a general principle. But it is true today that in this blessed nation, the lazy could survive on Centrelink payments. But the principle still stands. Laziness leads to neediness. The third consequence of laziness is the lazy are unlikely to change. This is because change requires hard work, and hard work is the very thing the lazy are trying to avoid. So in the end, laziness breeds laziness. Proverbs 19:15, laziness brings on deep sleep. And 26:14, as a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. So there we are. Three consequences of laziness according to the book of Proverbs. The lazy are unfulfilled, on a path to poverty, and are unlikely to change. Be lazy at your peril. You see, it all points to this one conclusion. The lazy are foolish. The Proverbs could not be any clearer on this. To be lazy is to be a fool. Which leads us to the question, if being lazy is foolish, what does wisdom look like in this context? How can the lazy learn wisdom? After all, this is the point of the book of Proverbs, isn't it? The Proverbs are for gaining wisdom and instruction. So then, how do the Proverbs instruct the lazy to find wisdom? Well, believe it or not, it tells us, it points us to ants. You heard me correctly, those incredibly small insects. Proverbs 30, four things on earth are small, yet are extremely wise. Number one, ants. Ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. Though ants are small in stature, they are great in wisdom. And so the lazy person is to go to the ant and to learn from the ant's ways. Proverbs 6, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Does anyone here know what etymology is? There's a few nods there. Etymology is the study of insects. And according to John Silling, who is a professor in etymology, the ant is an exemplary worker. Silling says that basically the ant's entire life, which can last up to 7 years amazingly, is spent working. They gather their food, they bring it back to their nest where they enjoy their meals and where they store up for winter. In fact, some species of ants plant tiny mushrooms upon organic waste and grow mushrooms to be their food. It's quite clever. And even more impressively, according to Professor Silling, I'm not making this stuff up, other ants get a majority of their food by milking plant lice. These are called ant cows. And so when it starts to get cold, the ants herd the plant lice down into their nests, and when it gets warm, they herd them back up to the plants. Exemplary workers, horticulturalists, even dairy farmers. Ants are amazing insects. No wonder the Proverbs hold out the ant as the paragon of hard work and industry. They work hard in the summer, storing up food for the winter months. This is the wisdom of ants. They have foresight and work hard to prepare themselves for the future. This is what the lazy person needs to do to gain wisdom. They need to have foresight and to work hard. They need to consider what kind of future they want and then work hard to get there. So we've looked at what kind of future the lazy can expect. It's going to be unfulfilled, frustrating, and on a path to poverty. But the hard worker who plans ahead, they can look forward to a very different future. Proverbs tells us that diligent hands will rule, that those who work their land will have abundant food, that the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. To be wise is to have foresight and to work hard. Such wisdom leads to great blessing and fulfillment. This is what the book of Proverbs tells us. But what does Jesus have to say on the matter of hard work and laziness? I ask this because some may start to think that Jesus teaches his disciples something very different in Matthew 6, which we heard before. Remember the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus doesn't tell his disciples to look to the ants. He tells his disciples to look to the birds. He says, don't worry about what you eat or what you're going to drink, because your Father cares about the birds of the air, and if he cares about them, he will care about you also. So don't worry about these things. Is Jesus here contradicting what the Proverbs teach? Does Jesus not know his Old Testament? Well, the answer, of course, is no. He isn't contradicting this teaching. However, he is bringing out a deeper application. Have a think about what else Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 6. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So just as the ant stores up for the cold winter months, followers of Jesus are meant to store up in heaven. Jesus goes on to say, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So just as the ant is to work hard to gather its food, the follower of Jesus ought to work hard for God's purposes. In other words, Jesus is not against planning for the future and working hard, but he is saying to be wise about it. Plan for the right future and work hard for the right things. Don't just store up for this life and then lose it all when you die. Store up for your future in eternity, in heaven. Don't just work hard in your current employment, in your duties around the house. Also work hard for God's kingdom. Work hard to grow in righteousness. In short, Jesus is in complete agreement with the Proverbs. It is wise to have foresight and to work hard. Followers of Jesus ought to have foresight and to be preparing for eternity, and followers of Jesus ought to work hard. Work hard to do God's purposes. Now, at this point, it's important that we remember that we don't have to work hard for our salvation. God has already done the hard work to save us through Jesus Christ. Our salvation is by grace alone. It is a free gift that God offers us, which we receive through faith in Jesus Christ. Our salvation is through faith and not works. But now, having put our faith in Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean we just sit back and be lazy Christians. The Bible calls us to be wise Christians. So I ask you this morning, are you wise? Do you have wisdom? And by that I mean, are you planning for the future? Are you preparing for eternity, or are you being short-sighted and lazy? And are you working hard? Are you working hard to achieve God's purposes in your life now? Or is your Christian life more marked with those five characteristics of laziness? Friends, I've come to the end of my time and I've outlined some principles of laziness and wisdom. It's now over to you to think about how these principles apply to your life. It's up to you to do the hard work. But here are some general ideas and guidelines just to get you started. Firstly, have a think about what kind of future you are planning for. Do you make realistic plans to pray, to read your Bible, and to come to church? Or is it something that you just hope for the best? Are you reliable when it comes to praying? Are you reliable when it comes to serving at church? In terms of giving money to God's kingdom, are you all talk but no action? Perhaps you've become good at making excuses as a Christian. Making excuses for not reading your Bible, for not coming to church, for not serving on a church roster, for not sharing the gospel with others. Or perhaps parents, what kind of future are you planning for your kids? Is there a hope that your children will follow Christ as well? Because in that case, are you working hard now to raise them as followers of Jesus? Teaching them the gospel, grace, and how to pray. Teaching them to love Jesus, love the Bible, love the church. Earnestly praying for them each day. And finally, for everyone, what kind of eternity do you desire? An eternity in relationship with God? Enjoying his presence with treasures that you have been storing up in heaven? Because if that's the type of eternity that you are seeking, that you want, now is the time to be preparing for it. When you are dead, it will be too late. Put your faith in Jesus as your Savior. Follow him and you will find fulfillment and great blessings. Sorry to single you out, Lorinda. You are about to be baptized. And can I encourage you that your decision to follow Christ is the wisest decision you or anyone could ever make. Well done. Friends, James 1:5 teaches us, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, and it will be given to you. So let's do that now. Heavenly Father, we thank you that every good gift comes from you. And so right now, we pray that you will give us, all of us, the gift of wisdom. Help us to see when there are aspects of laziness in our life. Help us to have foresight and to be preparing for eternity. And help us to be working hard, but to be working hard for your purposes. Father, help us not to be lazy Christians, but to be wise Christians. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.
We are now going to sing our next song, which is Saviour King. And as we do so, we'll be taking up our offerings for our regular members, if you haven't already given online. If you are a visitor here, please don't feel pressure or compulsion.